Back here at the half on our Surf Taco halftime show. Matt Harmon at the table. Monmouth leading 35-33 against Marist. MU trying to snap out of a six-game losing streak. And good enough to give us a couple of minutes here is Josh Newman, of course, from the Asbury Park Press. The Monmouth beat writer runs the Hawks Nest blog as well at app.com. Josh, you know, the theme for me, at least going into not just this game, but as the game kind of played itself out, and boy, it's been a pretty fun game to watch. But if you're Monmouth, at the very least, you got to go in, I think, with a lead at halftime and not allow Maris to get any extra momentum into this game.
Yeah, no, and you know, you said it better than I could have. I mean, they were up 8 at one point. They were playing really well on both ends of the floor. Defensively, they've been really, really solid. There was about a 4-minute stretch there where Maris didn't have a point. I just feel like Monmouth is playing very well. And as you said, that Maris team, you know, they can score in bunches when they get rolling. You don't want a team like that to have any kind of hope going into the locker room.
When you think about what Monmouth has done for me, I think one of the big numbers, and obviously a huge disparity between these two teams, 8 3-pointers for Marist to 3 for Monmouth, but MU is really pounding the ball down low inside, 22 points in the paint, so 22 of 35 coming from inside.
Yeah, and Marist has gone almost exclusively 2-3 zone, and you know, they're pounding the ball into Tillman, they're pounding the ball into Brady, and you know, this is game number 27 of the season, and King Rice has finally gotten to the point where he trusts his young big kids, you know, pound it in there, let them try to do something with it on the blocks. If the double comes, you kick it back out, you reset it. You know, King Rice has been waiting a long time to be able to do what they're doing right now, and it's been working here so far.
And it seems a little bit different to me. I think you said it really well there. The trust factor maybe is increasing, because it seems like every beginning of a Monmouth game, the first pass goes down low and the first basket for Monmouth goes to either Tillman or Brady. But then you don't see it again for almost the entirety of the first half. Both of those guys put together a 5 of 9 performance combined for 10 points. If you can get maybe not a ton of shots, but effective shots from those guys, it really does open things out for some of the perimeter players.
And there's no doubt. Back in, you know, October, November, when they were practicing, King Rice said, you know, the long-range thinking this season, if he can get 10 points and 10 rebounds from his freshman big guys, he would take that. And now we've gotten to the point where that's happening. You know, it kind of went by the wayside in Friday's loss, but those two combined for 14 points and 18 rebounds. Brady had 12 rebounds. He was, you know, physical and active on both ends, and that's happening again here today. They have 10 points and 5 rebounds combined. So if you're looking to complain about something, it's not Tillman and Brady, because they played very well.
And obviously, offensively for Monmouth overall, pretty good. 15 of 27, just about 56%. Maybe the best they played offensively in terms of the entirety of a whole half. And, I couldn't even put my finger on a game where I think they played as well.
It's been a while. And Deion Jones, he's playing really well right now. He's shooting from the perimeter with confidence. And, you know, he's been a little inconsistent, not this season, but definitely over the last month he's been a little up and down. He played very well against Iona on Friday night, but that's another thing that, you know, that probably went by the wayside because that was kind of a rout. But, you know, he came off, you know, that strong game, and he's having another strong game out here right now.
Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press here. It is halftime. Monmouth leading Marist by a score of 35-33. You know, I think it's now probably the point of the season with not a ton of games left that you start looking ahead a little bit to the MAC tournament. Almost a certainty that Monmouth will play in day one. Eddie and I kind of talked about it a little bit in the pregame show. You think it really makes all that much of a difference whether you're 6 through 11? I mean, obviously you want to finish as high in the standings as you can, but I feel like anybody of those teams that might be left over, anybody could win or lose on that particular first day.
Again, you said it perfectly. If you're 6 through 11, you're playing on that first day, that grouping of teams, if you look at it right now, that grouping of teams, they've all beaten each other. They're pretty comparable. You know, any of those six teams that are going to be playing that day can emerge from that first round. Now, is a team from that first round going to make a run and win 4 games in 5 days to go to the NCAA tournament? That remains to be seen. But on that first day, I feel like any of those teams is capable of advancing to Saturday's quarterfinals.
As it stands right now, those teams would be Siena, Marist, St. Peter's, Monmouth, Niagara, and Fairfield. You know, going into the second half, Josh, to close things up, I think, you know, going off that theme a little bit, everyone makes the tournament, so it's a little bit different than it's been for Monmouth in the history of their time with the NEC, where it was only the top 8. But I think just for psyche's sake, this team, you don't want them to get into such a funk that you've got to flip a switch going into the tournament. They need to get on a little bit of a roll here, playing so many games now at home. It's a time that they can maybe start to climb the ladder a little bit.
You're right. They have four straight games at home after playing, I think it was 8 of 11 on the road. They need to use this stretch of four games to gain some more momentum, try and gain some steam, try and get this thing turned around. And I found it interesting, they've lost six straight, but I feel like they came out here today. I was watching warm-ups. You know, they were loose and they were having fun, and it doesn't seem like they've lost six straight games. They're just coming out here and playing like it's another game. It's not like there's a sense of desperation, and I think that's really great to see from a young team.
And one more before we let you go. We close the door on Monmouth, but I would be certainly remiss if I didn't ask you about a busy day of Shore Conference basketball, not necessarily on the court, but in those four walls of the seeding meetings for both the boys and the girls Shore Conference tournaments. The pairings were announced a little earlier today. And I think probably most important in terms of a Monmouth perspective, they are still hot on the trail of Matt Farrell from Point Pleasant Beach. The Garnet calls the top seed on the boys' side.
Yeah, King Rice, you know, he saw Farrell play, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, when Point Beach played the Patrick School in a showcase there. You know, they may not get Farrell, but they are still in the mix, and King Rice is not giving up hope on that. So it'll be real interesting to see if the Point Beach boys are playing in this building in the final on March 1st in what could potentially be Matt Farrell's home floor.
Yep, both the boys and the girls pairings announced. You can check that out at SureSportsNetwork.com and at APP.com as well. Josh, always good to see you. Thanks for swinging by, giving us a couple minutes.
Appreciate it, Matt.
Josh Newman of the Asbury Park Press. Monmouth 35, Marist 33. We're back in 60 seconds with our Coxier out-of-town scoreboard here at halftime of the MAC on a Sunday afternoon. 35-33, our halftime score. Monmouth up by 2 on Marist. Time to take a peek at our Coxier out-of-town scoreboard, where Manhattan leads Niagara 41-30. That game is at the half. Also at the half, Siena 32, Canisius 27, St. Peter's at Quinnipiac. That game will tip at 4 o'clock. Top 25 activity, second half now. It is number 21, Wisconsin, leading number 15, Michigan, 62-52. Also in the top 25, number 23, SMU, trailing Temple by a score of 34-30. 3 o'clock tip time. In the Big Ten, Nebraska will be at number 9, Michigan State. Evansville home for number 4, Wichita State. A bit later on, Villanova and Creighton getting together. Good solid matchup in the Big East there. And then Rutgers will play at number 13, Louisville. That game at 6 p.m. We'll step out here, take a 2-minute timeout. When we come back, Eddie rejoins you. We'll go through stats and some halftime information right after this quick 2-minute break. It's Monmouth 35, Marist 33. You are listening to the Shore Sports Network.
Back here as we roll along on our Surf Taco Halftime Show on the Shore Sports Network. Monmouth in front of Marist, 35-33 here at intermission as we take a look at our first half statistics. Monmouth shot the basketball extremely well, 55.5% from the floor. They are led by 12 points from Deion Jones, who, remember, didn't start, even though he came in about a minute and 6 seconds into the game. Deion, 4 of 8, 12 points to lead the way. 6 for Zach Tillman, and then 4 points for both Brady and Nicholas. Every Hawk that has played has scored. And Josh James playing a very, very effective floor game at point guard. 2 points, no turnovers, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Marist was led by Jay Bowie's 13 points as the Red Foxes shoot 8 of 17 from 3-point range, but only 12 of 27 from the floor as MU holds this brief and abbreviated 2-point lead. Monmouth out-rebounded the Red Foxes 14-13, and here's your big stat. Marist did outscore Monmouth from beyond the arc because they had 5 more threes than the Hawks, but Monmouth outscored Marist in the paint 22-6, and the Hawks bench has outscored the Red Foxes reserves 17-2. Score was tied 6 times, and we saw 6 lead changes in this one.